Well, it's been a good year. We've had the opportunity to talk about what it's like to be free people, and it's a struggle learning to be a free person. We spent so much time living in a broken world, and we developed so many coping skills that were valuable to us because we lived in that broken world, that when we become freed people in Christ and we escape that brokenness, it's sometimes hard to learn how to be a free person. I'm thankful that God has done so much for us to help us learn to be free people, but there's something very special that God has done in making us free people so that we individually can help to build each other up. I so appreciate listening to Dean. He gives me pause every time I listen to him talk about the supper and how it builds him up, and he builds me up. What a great blessing it is to know that. You know, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and beginning at about verse 12, well, we'll begin reading really at the beginning of the paragraph at verse 11. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we reach a unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that we're no longer infants. We're no longer just babies beginning to learn how to be free people. We are free people, and we're strong free people because of what God has given us. We're no longer just babies tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect a mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. You know, we started talking about this, understanding that edification is a term of art. It's an architectural term. And we thought a little bit about why the apostle would use an architectural term to describe what's happening in each of us as we grow up and we become free people because of the help that we get from each other. Now, we notice first that it's intentional. You have a plan, and you're working the plan. You have a purpose in mind. You're building a dwelling place. It's a dwelling place for the Spirit. It's combined material, and it's a testament to the architect. We're building each other up because of what Jesus has done. Jesus is really the foundation for everything that we are. And the tendency, in some cases, is not to build each other up on the foundation of Jesus, but instead to build somebody up because I want them to be like me. You know, that was the problem that the Pharisees had. And Jesus, of course, bluntly says, you make them more a child of hell than you are. Well, we're not going to build people up so that they're like us. We're going to build people up so that they're like God. And you know, the apostle says that Jesus gave us some very special people. They're people who help us to be like he is. And we've talked about these people before. I just want you to think about how they help us to be free people in Christ. the first people we think about are the elders. They do a lot to build us up. And in Acts, the 20th chapter, the apostle talks to the Ephesian elders. He's called them to meet with him. He's on his way to Rome, and he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock that the Holy Spirit has, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. It's not yours. That's what the apostle is telling the elders. Build people up in God. And our elders have done a marvelous job, I think. They've refused to let us be defeated by COVID. They've refused to let us become isolated. They've taken great pains to make sure that we all stay together, because they know that's their job. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, at verse 1, beginning, Peter, who is an elder himself, said to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, and also who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So they tend to the flock. They take care of the flock. They watch out for us. They're trying to build us up. And they are ultimately examples of the way that we ought to live. Thank God, God gave us elders and all of the things that they do for us. He gave us teachers. James, the 3rd chapter at verse 1 beginning, he says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. If you're going to teach, understand this is an awesome responsibility. You have to build each other up. God will hold you accountable for what you teach. And in some sense, we're all teachers. We teach our children. We teach the friends that we have that are around us. But, you know, there are some of us take on willingly the job of being a teacher. Ralph is teaching 1 John. Ron is teaching Ezekiel. I'm teaching this morning. Dean was teaching us about the Lord's Supper. When you teach, teach carefully, because you're building people up. In Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 3, by the grace that is given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. And I suppose that there is a tendency for teachers to think more highly of themselves than we ought to think. I've been a teacher here. I've been a teacher in other places. I've been a teacher in higher education. And yes, it's really easy to get conceited. It's really easy to think of yourself as the one that imparts wisdom rather than being the one who's just telling people how to grow up in the way that God wants them to grow up. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So yes, we have great teachers who do a lot to help us understand the things of God. First Peter, the fourth chapter, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So yes, we do it with strength that comes from God, never for glory. Teachers do not teach for glory. They teach other people the things that God has given them. And you know, there are gifted people. There were gifted people in the early church in a very special way. The Spirit gave them abilities that they did not develop on their own. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, at verse 26, he says, "What shall we say then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." Romans, the 12th chapter. Verse 6, we'll read it again. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, if that's what God has given you, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. Now, we don't generally think of that as a gift that God specially gave to some people. It was. And there are people who serve. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give according to the grace and the strength that God gives you. There are gift imparters. Did you ever think about that? Romans, the first chapter. An important passage, I think. The Apostle Paul, a man who had all kinds of knowledge, a man who could teach in ways that I can't imagine, a man who imparted spiritual gifts to other people through the laying on of his hands, said this: "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift and to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." Paul, a man that you wouldn't think needed to learn how to be free, a man that you wouldn't think was in need of a great deal of help to grow up into the kind of man that God wanted him to be. Paul said, "I long to see you so that you can impart a gift to me." 2 Timothy, the second chapter, at verse 2. The Apostle Paul talks to Timothy, a man who had a gift that he had exercised because Paul had laid his hands upon him. He says, "The things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." So yeah, Timothy had a gift. And it was imparted by the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, "The things that I gave you, I want you to give to other people who can give it to somebody else." Now, that's not to say that we all had the ability that Paul did to pass on a gift through the laying on of our hands. But Timothy built people up. Titus, the second chapter. This is what he's talking to Timothy about. He gives a little bit more instruction to Titus. He says, "Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husband and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, subject to their own husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Yes, we're gift imparters. I can't impart the kind of gift that the Apostle Paul imparted to Timothy, but I am a gift imparter, and so is everyone else. Then there's the one another group. We don't have any special kind of thing. We don't have any special kind of office. Titus, the second chapter. We've already read that. Read it again. Begin at verse 6. Read down through verse 10. Romans, the 14th chapter. Beginning at verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Remember, he says, you're building each other up, but it's a mutual process. It's not like I'm building you up because I'm so great. We're building each other up together. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine, or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Never tear down what God built, no matter what it is. Never tear down what God built. Romans 15th chapter. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good and to build them up. I myself have convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Help the weak. And goodness only knows that there are all kinds of times when we're weak. 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 14. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Build each other up. Don't pay back wrong for wrong. Now that one got me. I have a tendency to want to respond in a harsh way when I've been wronged. And I have to learn not to do that. That doesn't build people up. That doesn't help them to grow. I've said before, I was a debater. And I was fairly good at it. I didn't want to just win the argument. I wanted to leave you bloody and bleeding in the gutter. I did not want to win the argument. I wanted to defeat you, destroy you completely. I still struggle with that, and it's a problem. 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, He says, when you're assembled and I'm with you in spirit and in the power of our Lord, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Now, they had gone the other way. They had boasted that they could deal with a person who was weak because they never instructed him in the way that he ought to go. Don't you know, Paul says, that a little leaven or a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new, unleavened batch, as you really are. Don't just tolerate people that didn't leave the broken world. Help them learn not to be part of the broken world. Help them learn that they need to grow up in Christ. That's what we all want to do. Husbands, wives, we know that these things are true in our relationship with each other. Parents, children, we know that these things are true in our relationship with each other. You can destroy a child if you try. And some people try. And that's really sad. Or you can build a child up. You can help him learn to overcome the weaknesses that he has. You can help your wife learn to overcome weaknesses. And goodness only knows my wife has to help me to overcome my weaknesses. But we build each other up. We're always working together as three people to build, not to be victorious. Understand what I mean by that. My goal is to build you up, not to be the one that wins the argument. If that's my goal, then I won't build you up. But free people, we know how to do this. People that don't know about God, they think that the best thing that can happen is they win. And that's really sad. I know, I'm kind of like the Apostle Paul. I know that that's not the way you want to be. I think that people that don't know about God, that are still trying to cope with a broken world using a broken world's methods, are dissatisfied, and I think they understand it's not getting them anywhere. They don't want to destroy. They don't know how. That's the problem. They don't want to destroy. They're not out to destroy everyone that's around them. They're in their own way. They want to build up, but they don't have Jesus. They can't build it up. You have to have the foundation. If you don't, you're not able to build. You want the foundation in your life? Put on Jesus in baptism. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about how this method of being free from sin really kind of works out. We're going to talk about at what point salvation. We'll continue to talk about this. We'll take baby steps as we go through this whole process. But if you want to put him on in baptism, like Sam did, come to the conclusion that you need him in your life if you're going to build something that's worthwhile, we'll help you do that. We'll help you put him on in baptism. Not just now. It doesn't mean that you have to decide to do it now, any more than Sam had to wait until he was assembled with the church so that he could do it at church. He did it when he wanted to do it. He put Jesus on. And we want you to know that you can do the same thing. Call someone. say, I want to be baptized. You can call Ron. Ron will be tickled out of his gourd if you call him and say, I want to be baptized. Will you come down to the building and help me be baptized? You can call Ted. You can call Mark. You can call anybody. They will be here. But we want you to know that. We want you to think about it.